Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hat Jam, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're doing today. Welcome to the songwriting comfort zone eliminating game that is Hat Jam. Hat Jam. And today we are broadcasting from the very special location of Josh Pike's Jam Room. We are going to take Josh on a journey through writing a song from scratch. By the end of this show, we would have written a song in the form of a scratch demo, which is basically just the cool best bits, not the album version. And we will be joined by Studio Cat as well, who will be keeping us on track, pressing pause, and enlightening us with facts as well. So, Josh, welcome.
What up?
Welcome to your jam room.
Thank you. I prefer to call it a studio.
Excellent.
Jam room's a bit too casual for me, man.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll call it Hat Studio.
It's Pike Studio.
Pike Studio. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's talk about collaborations. Obviously, we got to work on the Basement Birds together, which was wicked because, you know, if you get four songwriters in a room, they all write four songs and you've got a record. I mean, it just feels like a good, easy way to make a record. But we also co-wrote a lot on that record. In fact, we started off by, you know, getting together and writing a song in my jam room at the time, and then we threw it over to Kev and Steve, and then that kind of got the momentum going. How do you find collaboration works for you? How do you approach it?
I love collaboration. I think it's, you know, it's really one of the best parts of being a creative person, whether it's writing or songwriting or, you know, collaborating in the sense of, you know, curating your artwork for your album and film clips and stuff like that. I think collaboration is the key to all creativity. So I just approach it on a case-by-case basis, and you kind of learn as you go that to follow your instincts and trust your instincts, and what works with one person is not going to work with another person. So you kind of just have to get in there and be open, basically, is the main thing.
One of the hardest things I've always found in the writing process is discussing songwriting splits with people. I generally have a thing that when I walk into a room, I like to kind of know what they are before I've ever written anything.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And some people are funny about that because they're like, well, you know, you might write this and they might write that. And I still find that it, you know, as much as I can kind of afterwards think about it and go, well, you know, we can be very objective about this, it still makes the whole song feel a little bit stinky if I get into the nitty-gritty of who owns more of the song.
Yeah.
How have you approached those conversations?
I generally just do 50-50. You just walk in knowing that that's what's going to happen. It's kind of the Nashville Rules vibe. And I find that, you know, there are definitely times when I've written with people and I've felt like I've, you know, written most of the song, but it's, you have to take into account the life of the song and what will go on to happen to that song. So for instance, if I write a song with somebody and I feel like maybe I've written more of the song than somebody else, but then they go out and tour the song for 2 years, then that's great because that's, you know, a song that wouldn't have a life outside of these people. So
Josh Pike of Pike Studios.
.com.
We are going to collaborate today, and we are going to play the fantastic comfort zone eliminating game called Hat Jam. So you've chosen two names. Now, every week, for those who are tuning in for the first time, every week we get an artist to place two names of artists that have inspired them and songs that have inspired them, and we get them to put them into the hat. We then mix it around, and we get the artist to pull the first name out of the hat. This first name becomes the verse. We will write a song in the flavor of that artist for our verse. Once we've done that, we will then pull out a second name, and that name will end up being the chorus that we write. This week you've picked two names, and can you please read out for us the name of the artist and song that you've written?
Yes. So I wrote on the card
the just the first one to start with. Yes.
Just the first one. Yep.
Yep.
The Doobie Brothers. What a Fool Believes.
Fantastic. What a Fool Believes. No, that's a different song, isn't it?
No, that's the song.
Yeah, that's good. That's all right. It. Why did you pick the Doobie Brothers? Fool.
So the Doobie Brothers were one of the bands that when I was a kid, you know, they just were in my parents' record collection, and I just fell in love with their songs. And that song in particular I just found was really emotional. It's quite a tragic, romantic story, and his voice is incredible. It's like, what's his name? Michael McMahon or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's like, you know, he's got the, what a fool believe.
Yeah. It's a fantastic chord progression. Sentimental fool that was a trying heart. And then does that great like chord change.
Yeah.
Had a place in your heart.
So I just like, there was just something about it.
It's from an era where it was cool to be like middle-aged and slightly bald and still be like a really huge rock star. Put it in the hat. Is it in the hat already?
It's already in there.
Okay, second song.
So the second song is Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
Welcome to the jungle. You're gonna die.
Guns N' Roses were a massive influence on me growing up, and obviously I don't play music like Guns N' Roses, but
we all did once upon a time.
We all did. Yeah. I basically learnt my skills of playing guitar and
singing. The first bass line I ever learnt was the Sweet Child of Mine intro. Oh, that's how I learnt how to play bass.
Anyway, yeah, so yeah. Same here. Like we jammed at my friend Dan's house for years. In his TV room, I plug a microphone into his dad's stereo system.
Yeah. and just sing along.
Welcome to the Jungle, when he's like, welcome to the jungle, you're going to die. And I was like, why am I going to die? I think I was 11 or 12, and I remember listening to the first time, like sharing headphones with my friend. He's listening to it on his Walkman, and I was like, wow, this is dangerous stuff. You know, like, this is really, these young men are taking drugs and having sex. That's dangerous.
Well, the thing to note about Guns N' Roses, and you forget that now, is that when that album came out, it was like the end of hair metal and all of that kind of stuff. And they were still part of that era.
Yeah.
But really what made them amazing is they were just a bit darker and a bit more real than any of the other
Motley
bands.
Crue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they made them look like a joke band. But then, of course, Nirvana came not that long after, and even Guns N' Roses were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went on and became, you know, they did Use Your Illusions and got all bloated and massive.
Yeah.
So, Josh Pike, are you ready to play Hat Jam?
I am.
Well, I am going to place the hat in front of you.
Okay.
And you, my friend, are going to pull the first name. This name that Josh pulls out of the hat is going to inform our verse. Okay. What kind of song are we going to write today? He's shuffling. He's pulled a name.
What is it?
Can you read it into the microphone?
Okay, I've got something.
Oh, it's got someone's name on the back. You've pulled someone else's card.
Timothy Nelson, and he has written Living End by ELO.
Living Thing, I believe.
Living Thing, sorry. I saw ELD, got confused, thought of End, Living Thing.
Fantastic.
You're a living thing. Is that the song?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I care about things. It's such a great song because it's not only is it just like a crazy, awesome chord progression, but it's also, it's got this like kind of free form, like operatic thing that happens, and there's strings, and it's like just ridiculously overproduced, but just a really, really cool song. So ELO obviously stands for Electric Light Orchestra. And Studio Cat, before we have a listen, have you got any facts that you can enlighten with us about the song Living Thing?
Well, it was written by Jeff Lynne and performed, of course, by ELO. It's also known as, by the UK's Q, as the number one guilty pleasure in 2006. Love a guilty pleasure single of all time.
An anti-abortion.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Yeah, right.
And if you listen to the
living,
it's a living thing.
What a terrible thing to do. Yeah, right.
Which is interesting. I mean, I'm okay with abortion. I think that people should have that choice. But I remember, it's funny how when you find the true meaning of a song, you're like, I don't know if I like it as much anymore. Yeah. But it is a wicked song, and we're going to have a listen now.
Sailing away on the crest of a wave, it's like magic. Oh, rolling and riding, slipping and sliding, it's magic.
took me out of you. Oh, higher and higher, baby. It's a loving thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a giving thing. What a terrible thing to lose.
Sounds like an Eskimo Joe song.
Sounds like a Steve Parkin song. So over-the-top production for its time. One of the really cool things about it is his vocal sound. And I mean, yes, it does sound like all bands from 2004 in Perth, and maybe that's why I love it so much. Have you got another fact there, Studio Cat?
I do have a fact. In interviews, Jeff Lynne has said it's absolutely nothing to do with abortion.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank God.
It's still speculated, mm-hmm. but it's about being in love and being alive.
Okay, that's better. Thank you, Jeff. I feel better about liking your song now. Lyrically, how would you describe the lyrics?
It was pretty abstract, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty just evocative and image based, and yeah, it's not kind of not very direct, which is good.
But it's also very movement based. So he's like running away, crest of a wave.
Yeah,
you know, it's all kind of like you've got this momentum, this kind of feeling of momentum the whole time.
Mm.
I do think that's without ripping it off, that's the key to get that kind of that semitone.
Yeah, I think
chord
you could do that with a major minor shift as well. You know, you could do this kind of thing where you go like, you know, mm-hmm. that classic kind of Wilco-y.
Yeah, he.
That's it. just wrote it.
The song's written. That's it. When are you changing your chords? You're starting on
C. So it's like. I don't know what note that is. D sharp.
E flat.
B flat.
Can you go at that point? Can you do the semitone shift down at one? Yeah,
that's like a F with a A bottom.
So you like. In the something kind of blood on her. Something that I don't hold on now. Could you keep going down from there?
Jeff has been known to say that there's one chord change that made the song.
Yes, that's the chord change we've been discussing.
So he basically said, I think it's interesting because there is one chord change that makes the whole thing work, and if I hadn't found that, it would never be a song. I was looking for it for quite a while because once you're stuck in the F minor, where do you go? You can either go back to C or back to G, which is the obvious thing, but then suddenly it came to me, E minor, and then keep going down and then down again.
Well, I think there's a life lesson in that.
Always go down.
If you're stuck in an F sharp minor, just go down. That should be.
Oh yeah, that's great.
When you're stuck in a. Wait, need a metaphor. Something blur. Just go down. Go down. What if you flipped it during the chord progression? Like, if you're stuck in a moment and you can't get out, just go down. If you're stuck in a moment and you can't get out, just go down.
Yeah, that could be cool. So if you go,
if you're stuck in a moment and you go down, go down.
Back to C,
And
then you could go, into something else.
So that's cool. I feel like we've got, in that style of, we've got these... these kind of blocked out melodies and obviously where the words should go and some chords to follow it. I reckon we should write some words and then come back and have a jam on that idea as our verse.
Sure.
Sound good?
Just for the record, this is I never write songs like this.
You are today. All right, let's grab ourselves a pen and paper. So let's have a jam for this to our ELO-style beat with an annoying click track going in the background that people listening won't be able to hear. One, two, three, go.
When you're stuck in a moment, just slow down, slow down. If you want it from nothing, don't just fade out, fade out. When you're coming up empty and it feels so broken, like a mirror you're fighting by your own reflection.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's good. I got a verse. And with me doing a bad harmony. So I'm gonna wait for
Double J to the P, that's me coming at you like foam from Sydney.
That's the verse right there. So, Josh Pike, we have a verse. I think it's time to draw our second name out of the hat.
Oh, that's exciting, yeah.
Which will inform what our chorus is going to be.
Awesome, love it.
Okay, so that's the rustling. Thank you, Studio Cat, for the official rustling of the hat. What name is he going to pull? Drum roll, please.
Eyes finding a nicely folded thing. Note. Okay, here we go. Ooh, Sex Machine by James Brown.
step back. Wow. Okay. Well, that is going to be quite a change of scenery from ELO Living Thing acoustic guitars to...
I think I've already got an idea. I think we can do this.
Okay, yeah. Great. I think you pretty much had that idea at the end of that jam. Coming for your life from Sydney. Hey! All right. But I think to be fair to, you know, the man, we need to actually have a listen to Sex Machine and make sure that we've got our head around it. All right. You ready for this?
Yeah! 1, 2, 3, 4! Get up! Get on up! Stay on the scene like a sex machine. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene like a sex machine. No, wait a minute. Shake your arm, use your thumb. You got to have a feeling. Right on, right on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And we're back with Josh Pike talking about James Brown's Sex Machine.
I wonder who actually has the songwriting credits for this song.
Well, probably James Brown.
Realistically, he's not doing much composition in this song.
And realistically isn't doing much anymore because he's dead.
He's a dead man.
So it pretty much sticks on the groove, and the main thing about that is the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Introducing it each time, so it kind of starts on the chorus, basically.
And the piano definitely adds is as much a motif as anything else. You know?
Yeah, agreed. Hey, Studio Cat, have you got any facts about James Brown's Sex Machine? Not really. He was James Brown. You don't really want to know too much about James Brown, like that. Apart from the fact he was, you know, the godfather of soul.
Well, the song centres on the insistent riff, as you've been talking about.
Yeah.
Played by brothers, I just want to say these words. That's played by brothers Bootsy and Catfish Collins.
Yeah. Bootsy Collins.
On bass and guitar. And Jabbo Starks on drums. And, of course, the call and response interplay between Brown and Bird's vocals. Also, at the end of the song, Brown and Bird started to sing the main hook of Elmore James' blues classic, Shake Your Money.
So Shake Your Money Maker.
So that's actually going back to somebody else's song. So they're doing a bit of a hat jam themselves.
Oh, interesting. They're just jamming.
Like most of Brown's hits, it was recorded in just two takes.
Oh, of course.
That's dope.
So if we've been up here and we're like... Da-da-da-da-da, bump, 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 bump.
Yeah, I think it should just be straight in, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
That's basically
We've got the fucking chorus.
I think we need to also reflect back that it was one of the first Hot 100 hits with the word sex. So the lyric sex.
Actually, I think that is a really good point. So there's a risque lyric in it. You know, there's the sex thing. We don't have to say sex, but like what are the lyrics are kind of dangerous?
Fucking?
Fucking.
You say fucking?
Hey, gonna do a little fucking, yeah. With my fingers on the guitar plucking, yeah. Come on, get on, get it on. Come on, get it on. Huh. Ah, get it on, come do a little fucking, yeah. Huh. With my fingers all plucking, yeah. Hey. Come on, do it again, yeah. Step back, gonna shit myself.
Step back, gonna shit myself. I did a little shit in my pants.
Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. That is terrible stuff.
Okay. Guys, acoustic guitars should never be used as a funk instrument. Should be like a rule of rock and roll.
No rules, bro. Oh, so maybe that's when we...
Just go down.
Just go down.
Yeah, that's
because that's like
just go down. Ha! Yeah, that's right. Just go down. Woo! Ah, all right. Just go down. Ow! Yeah. Just go down. Oh.
And then maybe.
And then so
just go down. Just go down.
We have this thing in our house where Studio Cat has an amazing ability to blow things up.
As in explode them.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Like washers, dryers, blenders, juicers.
It's a good skill.
Cars.
And generally, it's always at a time when we're moving too fast, when we're like trying to get everything done and, you know, being, you know, this is a less romantic look at it, but being a parent in the world at the moment, you know, you're expected to these old ideals of what we were. I think it's a healthy thing, but these old ideals of like, you know, one person goes to work for a whole entire day and one person's just the stay-at-home parent, it doesn't really work anymore because everyone actually wants to participate in their children's life. And so, but as a consequence, you have two people trying to do everything all the time, going at this, you know, hectic pace, blowing shit up, you know.
Now, how can we turn the struggles of parental duties into a sexy sex machine style chorus?
Well, you know, you can
just slow down.
You can turn
when you're cooking the toast, yeah.
No, but you can turn that same concept as more of a universal theme. You know, which is, you know, just slow down.
Or your fuse is blown. Yeah.
Just slow down.
Yeah.
Are you blowing a fuse?
If you're blowing a fuse, yeah. Just slow down if you're blowing a fuse. Just slow down
if you're feeling used.
Yeah.
Just slow down. If you cannot choose.
If it's hard to choose.
If it's hard to choose. Just slow down.
Yeah, just slow down. No, but I think we're on the right track. You know, just slow down if it's hard to choose. Just slow down, you know.
If you're drinking too much booze, yeah.
Well, I think more universal. I think, like, if it's hard to choose, I think it's a good one. If you think you're going to lose.
If you've got red shoes. Just slow down if you're feeling used.
Used is good as well.
Just slow down, it's hard to choose. Yeah. Just slow down if you're feeling used. Just slow down if you're feeling used.
So we got two. Used and choose is good. We need two more.
If you're feeling
bruised. If your heart is bruised.
If your heart is bruised. Just slow down. Oh, no, what about, and if it's hard to choose, try a different view, and then that's the...
Oh, yeah.
That's the...
And if it's... Just slow down.
And if it's hard to choose.
Okay, so we've got our chorus idea. Let's give it a jam to a slightly funky groove to put us in that James Brown mood. So we've got this kind of vibe going on. And I'm going to go... You ready?
Yeah.
Just slow down, feeling used. Just slow down,
if it's hard to move.
Just slow down,
if your heart is bruised.
Just slow down, just slow down, just slow down. Woo. Well, okay.
It's kind of a half James Brown, half Pharrell sort of thing.
Well, you know, it's within the world that the hat has presented
exactly.
to us. So
we didn't choose the world.
We didn't choose
the world.
The
world chose us.
The hat chose us. So what I'm going to suggest now is we've got our just slow down chorus. We've got our just slow down verse. Let's see how we can stitch these two together and see if they actually work. We might need to shift a chord or two. We don't know that yet. We might need to slow the whole thing down or speed the whole thing up. We don't know that yet either. But let's just put those two grooves together and see if they work.
When you're stuck in a moment, just slow down, slow down.
That reminds me of all the shit Frio funk bands that were playing around when I first started playing in Fremantle.
I did a bit of funk as well back in the day.
We all did a bit of funk. My first band with Joel was a funk metal band called Freud's Pillow.
Yeah, that does not surprise
me. No.
I've seen you slap bass, man. Yeah. Come on, give us a little sugar.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, you can't see it, but he's even got a funk face.
Oh, yeah,
on,
I've got like biting the lip.
Yeah,
and
bottom,
kind of
bottom lip
slight
under the teeth.
Flaring of the nostrils and just death stare.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you play slap bass, and that's why I don't play slap bass. But there was a time when I was about 16, 17, and I thought it was cool just to sit at parties and impress girls by how well I could slap the bass. And the only people who were interested weren't the girls, they were the nerds.
Yeah,
they were like, yeah, slap bass. The girls were like off with hanging with hip-hop dudes and shit. Anyway... So we find ourselves in a conundrum where we've got a pretty cool verse and a pretty cool chorus, but they sound shit together.
They do. Yeah.
I mean, we've intertwined them and gelled them together so we can actually make them work, because that's the kind of songwriting professionals that we are, Josh.
Woo! But it's hard because we're writing to a actual project.
So there's one little part of the whole Hat Jam that I didn't tell you. So the premise of the Hat Jam is, you pull one name out that is for the verse and one name out that's for the chorus. We've done that. We also have this purple box here.
I did notice that purple box, but I didn't know what it was for.
This is the wild card box, Josh.
Oh.
And if we get to a point where it's just not working, then you can pull a wild card out.
I like it.
Do you want to pull a wild card out?
I definitely think we need a wild card.
All right. This is the first wild card, ladies and gentlemen, anyone's ever had to pull. And Josh is going to pull it. And let's see what he does right now. This is going to totally mess it up for us.
Ooh.
What does the wild card say?
The wild card says, change the perspective, first to third, etc.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Well, you becomes I, and I becomes you.
I don't think that's going to help us.
No, it's really not.
Can I pull another wild card?
Yeah, well, we still have to use that. Or let's just pull another one out and pretend that you didn't pull a wild card out. Okay.
Pulling the wild card out.
Pulling the wild card out. Okay. Yep. Okay, got it. Ooh, okay. Ooh.
Okay, what have we got here, Josh?
Start the song with a random chaotic sound and make the chords fit.
Whoa. Okay, so we've got to basically find some chaos and we've got to try and get the chords to fit around that. Or do you want to do another wild card?
Let's do another wild card.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
So Josh is going to pull a wild card.
I've selected to pull the wild card.
Let's see what we get from the wild card deck.
Okay, so I've pulled a wild card and the wild card says switch the verse and the chorus around. Reverse. Swap the verse and the chorus around.
Okay, that's interesting.
Well, that will probably help.
Well, let's see. So if we were doing that, we'd be like, slow down, the heart is bruised. We slow it right down, yeah? Slow down, and something is dead.
So this is a verse now.
This is our verse. Slow down, and something blurp. And I burped into the mic. Slow down, slow down, slow down. And then just go. It's better.
It's better, yeah. Unless, I mean, how strict are you with the rules about, sticking to the genre? Like,
we can flip at any point in time. This is just the rungs of a ladder that gets us to the roof, Josh.
I like that.
We've had fun pretending to be James Brown. We've had fun, you know, pretending to be ELO. I'd actually like you to come back now and perform this song if you were Josh Pike, and this was going to be a Josh Pike song on a Josh Pike record.
Interesting.
So that gives you the freedom to insert a chorus that you think would be worthy of this. And my feeling is what we've ended up with is, and when you write songs, you know, I do these songwriting workshops with kids who are like 13 to 17, and they're always like, well, this, we've written it all. We've written the whole thing on the board, see? And it's like, well, that's the chorus and that's the verse. And usually my biggest suggestion is like, let's just call this section one and section two and section three, because as the dust settles, you don't know what's going to be your chorus, what's going to be your pre-chorus. Something might happen, like just then flipping it, pretending that the verse was the chorus and the chorus was the verse, really highlighted the fact that our slowdown section is a really great pre-chorus, which means we've still got work to do. We've still got to write a chorus. So let's go away, write a chorus, come back. Have you performed this as Josh Pike, the artist, not as James Brown or
James Lynn.
How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Pike with Slow Down.
Stuck in the moment, just slow down, slow down. If you're running from nothing, don't just fade out, fade out. When you're coming up empty-handed, feel so broken. Like a mirror, you're frightened by your own reflection. Slow down. If you're feeling you, slow down. If your heart is bruised, slow down. And I can hardly move, slow down. Just slow down. Remember that feeling of slow December, how the moments just burned away like fading embers. Just one spark can start the whole thing over. Like a memory I can't hold forever. So I slow down. If you're feeling you, slow down. If you
can hardly breathe, slow down. And I can hardly move, slow down. Just slow down, slow down. When it's hard to breathe, slow down. And I can hardly see, slow down. What's left to believe, slow down. Just slow down. If your heart is bruised, slow down. And I can hardly move, slow down. Just slow down, just slow down. And it's hard to breathe, slow down. And I can hardly see, slow down. What's left to believe, to slow down. Just slow down, just slow down.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of another amazing episode of Hat Jam, coming to you live from the Josh Pike studio with the man himself, Josh Pike. How do you feel after being subjected to this experience and coming out with what is an amazing song at the end of it?
I feel exhausted. I feel quite tired. It's writing songs is, it's like, for me, like this is a super fun exercise and a fun, you know, experiment and a challenge. But for me, writing songs is much more about like sort of, you know, putting yourself in a situation where lightning might strike, and then if it doesn't, you just walk away and wait for another time. So it's a very different process.
This is definitely quite the opposite to that. It's
making lightning strike.
It's, you know, walking in there and just going, if lightning strikes or not, we're just gonna
exactly
make this happen.
Yeah. Which was really cool, and it's a super fun experiment. But I found it mentally quite tiring.
It is mentally tiring, and I do think that is one of the things that people who maybe have dabbled in songwriting or people who don't songwrite don't really understand, which is that unless you are addicted to that thing, you know, that sitting in a room and, you know, getting a piece of metal or a piece of clay and just banging it until it's into shape and really enjoying that mental exhaustion, unless you are that person, you probably shouldn't do it.
No, it's true. I remember somebody years ago asked me for advice about, you know, being a songwriter. And I just had to be honest, and I was like, look, unless you're completely compelled to do it, you know, completely obsessed and compelled to do it, I would suggest that you relegate it to being a passionate hobby of yours, which is which is awesome, you know, which is great.
Which is a good thing to do for the soul, yeah. Yes.
And they really weren't happy with my advice at
all. I can't imagine they were. We don't live in a society where people are very good with that. But we do live in a society where we have some fantastic songwriters here and around the world. You being one of them in Australia.
I think your bio said,
and I do agree, one of Australia's much loved songwriters.
Much loved by, you know, you.
I'm loved by me. Yeah. And before we go, if people want to contact you, you know, what's the best way for people to get in contact?
Just don't do it. No, I don't.
Leave him alone, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't.
He won't talk back
with other people. Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mostly do my social media stuff on Instagram these days, I must admit. So, yeah.
So send you, if you want to message Josh Pike, ladies and gentlemen, message him on Instagram. Josh, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for participating in
Slow Down.
In this amazing
Slow Down
game.
Slow
today.
Down.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Pike.
If you're interested in hearing more about any of the artists on Hat Jam, then please head to our Facebook page, Instagram, or website and follow the links. This podcast was proudly sponsored by APRA AMCOS.
You can find Cav Temperley on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Cav Temperley or www.cavtemperley.com.au, or follow us directly on at @hatjam_podcast. This has been a Temperley production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.